Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Time now for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. If you're looking for a great mortgage company to help you with your new home, go to Stockton.com. Michael, how are you this morning?
Doing good, Dan, doing good. Everything was good till I got to the studio and heard a sad story from you about one of our former teammates and good friend.
Yeah, this is terrible. George Tinsley, who was a guest on our show a couple of weeks ago, called me this morning. And Artis and Enola lost their 44-year-old daughter yesterday. And, you know, a parent should never have to bury a child. That's
absolutely.
That's the absolute worst. But I guess and no indication whatsoever. She came home from work, said she wasn't feeling well, was going to lay down for a little bit. And they went to check on her, and she was gone. So our prayers are certainly with Artis and Enola. Artis is a true example of a gentleman. He's so good-hearted and so kind, and I ache for him that he has to go through this. So, if you get down on your knees tonight, send one up for Artis and Enola and their family.
Absolutely, really good people. I mean, good people, as you said. And heartbreaking story. But we got to move on here.
Yep.
And Chris Stewart, the play-by-play voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, the team that was the hottest team in the SEC last year, and Nate Oates has got that team going in a upward trajectory. He also does baseball. He does the Nick Saban TV show. We're going to ask him about what's going on at Bama and about some key players that they may have lost and also some recruits. I mean, the style that Alabama plays now is style Nate Oates played at Buffalo, but he has better players here now than he had at Buffalo. But, and he had some great teams at Buffalo. I mean, terrific teams at Buffalo.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a style, Michael, that, you know, these young men want to play. They don't want to walk the ball up the court and make 14 passes. They want to play that up-tempo game.
I like the passes, but you don't need 14 unless they're all going to the basket. That's one thing about his teams, that they drove the ball as best they could at all times to make the defense react, and then they would find the three-point shooter. They did a really nice job of it. But one thing, Dan, I think was pretty important in looking at that team last year, Alabama, I think their defense was better than people gave it credit for. They always talked about the three-pointer, which was true. Thought they did a nice job of funneling things to the middle, and they gave good help side. They protected the rim pretty well. So, I mean, that was a good offense-defense team, well-rounded ball club. And everybody wanted to talk about the tray, which it was fascinating.
Sure.
How they shot it.
Sure. That's all anybody wants to talk about in basketball today is the three-point game. But you're absolutely right. And Michael, the old adage, defense never takes a night off. And it's important, especially when those three-pointers aren't going in with a lot of consistency. It's important that you can stop a team on the other end of the floor. And Alabama is just another example of how packed the SEC is with the basketball programs this year.
And to your point, before we get Chris Stewart on here, do you believe in 5 stars and 4 stars and 3 stars? I mean, did you pay any attention to that?
No.
I agree. Until I eyeball them, I get a thought in my mind about who they remind me of or how good I think they are. So you and I are in agreement, 5 stars of 5 stars. They're not all made alike, are they?
No,
they're not all
equal. No. And, you know, there are other – I would say those stars are given out on ability only. There are some other factors involved as far as people – that you want playing on your team. And it's not always the most talented. You know, you have to talk about character. You have to talk about the willingness to fit in on a team. So, give me a 4-star or a 3-star that plays hard and wants to be part of a winning team over a selfish 5-star any day.
Great point.
Did they have those kinds of...
No. You're going back? No. No, they had a guy, and a point I was going to make was the SEC, and we'll talk with Chris Stewart about this, how it figures into all of this. But they had a guy in Toledo called Dave Bones. He had the Bones Report beside Garfinkel.
Yeah, I remember him. I don't remember the Bones.
You and I never made it on Garfinkel's report because that was pretty much Eastern dominated.
Yeah, we were too far west for
so,
that.
So Bones out of Toledo would have covered us more, but he just talked about players, and he was one of the first, along with Garfinkel, to have a scouting report on players. And I can't remember. I remember hearing older coaches when I was at Charlotte talk about him in the 60s and 70s. I read his stuff in the 70s, and then I think he may have gotten tired of doing that. And there were others. A guy in North Carolina came on in the mid to late 70s, and he had a nice report. But Garfinkel was the daddy rabbit.
Now, this is all on high school kids you're talking
all on
about.
High school kids, yeah. Every bit of it on high school kids. So, interesting stat for you, Mr. Issel. 25 stars, of which we love, in college hoops next year, coming in, that have already said they're playing, mm-hmm. not going to the G League or anything else.
Right.
25 stars in college hoops. 7 are going to the SEC.
Wow.
7. But here's the kicker. 9 of the top transfers out of the portal, okay, going to the SEC. 5 are going to the SEC.
Five of the top nine.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. And 9 5-star kids out of high school.
And, no, 7.
7.
7, yeah. So the league is going to be loaded. We've talked about it. I'll continue to talk about it till the season starts and the bottom falls out on all of them. But, I mean, it's been a while since we've seen this depth in the league. It reminds me so much potentially of what the Big Ten did last year.
Right.
The Big Ten was the talk of college basketball.
Absolutely.
It should have been.
But you're right, during the regular season and then comes the NCAA tournament, and you couldn't find a Big Ten team with a search warrant. So
MIA, huh?
It doesn't always work out the way it's supposed to. But the SEC is going to be great. Great fun this year. I guess Georgia can't be any good. They don't have any players, so Georgia can't be any good. Texas A&M, I think, will be at the bottom.
Yep.
And Vandy, maybe.
Yep, maybe.
Depending on who comes back and who they get to stay and who they get to come in. But I mean, everybody else looks loaded.
And you can't forget about our guy at Mississippi State. He's developing a program down there in Stark, Vegas. Ben Howland, yeah. And of course, Mississippi's a sneaky team. I mean, they're They're a sneaky good team. And in South Carolina, you got to throw them in at the bottom. I think they have like 9 new players. I'll have to call my man there at South Carolina and get him on. I think Coach Martin has got 7 or 9 new players.
Wow.
And either from the portal or high school guys.
He's fun to watch, isn't he?
Isn't he, though? Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Good coach.
An excellent coach, but he's one of those guys when the jump ball goes up, something else takes control of him. It's like he's not himself. There's somebody else in that body. It's fun to watch.
And he's got the best Charlie Manson stare. He gives it to the officials. He gives it to his guys. When something goes sideways in his mind, something happens he doesn't want to happen. He gives them his best Charlie Manson. Yeah. I mean, he's powerful with that stare now, I'm telling you. Oh, Lordy. Well, another coach bites the dust in the NBA.
Yeah, and he wasn't there long, was he?
It's like the third coach in 2 years with the Pacers.
Yeah.
I know they're your favorite team, I know.
I don't know what's going on up there. You know, they when Donnie Walsh was there and Larry Bird and they were running the show, there seemed to be some continuity there. Donnie Walsh, of course, a North Carolina guy, teammate of Larry Brown and Doug Mose at North Carolina. And, of course, everybody knows who Larry Bird is. But it seems like recently there's no continuity at all. It doesn't seem to be much of a game plan that's going on with the Pacers. So, but that just shows, Mike, the length of the contract, the amount of money, it doesn't matter. If they don't think you're doing the job, you're on your way.
But how can you – how could you, as a GM or an owner, after 1 year, say the guy wasn't doing his job? Now, the complaint was his communication skills with the players, or his communication ability. I guess it used to be called you lost your team, okay? Right. That's what it used to be called. Or you weren't communicating with the owner.
Let me get the glossary out here so I know what you're talking about.
You got to know. It's like rim runner. I'm having to help you along with this new terminology.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
But I mean, a year, Dan, you've got to really have done something to make PO somebody in the organization.
As I've said before, Mike, if you're a smart guy and a decent GM, you can probably outlive 3 coaches. And so, I mean, obviously somebody made a mistake on this one. So that's one down. After the second or third one, they stop looking at the coach and they start looking at you. So, you hate to lose one of your cards 1 year into the deal, but that's exactly what's happened here.
So, I understand that Turner, the kid from Texas, the terrific defensive player and rebounder, he can hit some open shots, but his whole bag is playing defense and rebounding. He's very good at it, one of the best young players in those categories. They're possibly looking to trade him. There's interest in him in the league.
Yeah, you would think so.
Because
sure.
of that.
Yeah.
And you know, you start losing young players like that, you can't build.
No, you're right. And if there's no continuity with the coaching staff and there's no continuity with the team, it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while for sure. It'll be interesting to see who they go after. If they go after, some hotshot college coach, if they go after a veteran NBA coach who's currently unemployed, or if they go after a young coach who does have those communication skills with the younger players. So, as you like to point out, there's a bunch of them that turn over every year. Now we're up to, is that 4?
4, and, 4. And there's a couple right on the edge, right on the rim. And pretty soon you're going right at the Kevin Lockery rule of 7. Every year, 7 turnovers.
7 turnovers.
Yeah, and so. Kevin, God bless him, he's been right more times than wrong. And it's very interesting. Who would take this job on the heels of all the coaches who have been there?
Yeah, but there's always somebody out there. I mean, they'll find somebody.
Going to money whip them, you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay.
An assistant making – $750 gets money whipped into the $2 million category?
I would say at least $2 million. In today's NBA, I can't think of too many head coaches that are making less than that. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's an attractive job.
Absolutely.
But you better get a three-year contract.
Absolutely.
Two with an option, maybe. Three if you can.
Because let me tell you something. Whoever they hire, he's going to be making a whole lot more money coaching the Indiana Pacers than he could make doing anything else. I guarantee you that.
You better hold on to what you keep when Uncle Sam gets you. You better hold on to it. It's a pretty good gig if you can get the work, right?
You know, I was thinking yesterday we talked about Nikola and getting the Supermax contract where he'll get on the 1st of the 15th of every month, he'll get $2 million wired into his checking account. But when you're making $50 million a year, it probably doesn't take a long time to cover your Social Security withholding, do you think?
Well, let's ask Chris Stewart, the voice of the Alabama basketball team. And also, I believe, Chris, you're doing baseball this year, too?
Yeah, Mike, just to finish my 22nd season of doing Bama baseball, so been at it for a while.
And what I love is we were talking about withholding on Jokic's new paycheck. Nick Saban, and you do the TV show still with Nick, and Nick just got an extension, and he makes almost as much money as some of these pro players.
He does well, but I'll tell you this much. For all the criticism that Alabama got, when Mal Moore, rest his soul, got when he first hired Nick Saban about this crazy contract and everything, it was said then by people in Tuscaloosa, and it's said still today, now that contract is probably double or more what it was at that time. It's a bargain, folks. He's the best there is, one of the best ever, and whatever they're paying him in relation to the return, and I don't just mean wins and losses, what it's meant in so many different ways to the university and to the state as a whole, it's been money very, very well spent.
Now, I think this extension goes through 2028, is that right?
I think that's correct, 28 or 29,
okay.
And that's just until we can get to next year and roll it over another year if they'll take it.
Now, how long do you think Coach Saban's going to be able to coach?
I'll tell you this. If based on his health and his family situation, in that his wife loves everything that is tied with it, I think he'll coach as long as he possibly can. He's in great shape. He had a hip replacement 2 years ago, a little more than a year ago, I think it was. And the reason that he wanted the hip replacement is so he could play golf and could do the coaching longer without pain. He's in terrific shape. He's every bit as driven as he's always been. He's got a family dynamic that is the best it's ever been for him, because not only does he have both of his now adult children within an hour of Tuscaloosa, grandkids now, and his mom is in Birmingham also. It's a great spot. He's got everything there. Miss Terry's got everything there. They love being at a place where it matters as much as football does at the University of Alabama. And he's got no interest in taking direction from a producer and sitting and waiting for 2 hours to do a 2-minute hit on ESPN. He's just in an absolutely great spot, and Alabama people are thrilled that he feels that way.
Well, Chris, we want to talk to you about that basketball team that you had last year with Nate Oates, but I have one final football question. I think what he's put together down there at Alabama. And you've got Krzyzewski that has won 5 championships, and I'm not knocking him at all. But the longevity and the success of Alabama football under Nick Saban, that is just the most amazing thing. And I know he's got talent. I know there's 90,000-plus people and all this. But what motivates this guy to continue to fight the battles he has to fight to keep his place at the top?
you know, I was a kid growing up at the end of Coach Bryant's tenure and his life, and I know the reverence for which Coach Bryant was and always will be held in the state of Alabama. The fact that there's even a conversation that someone could be on par with or perhaps even exceed what Coach Bryant was as a coach blows my mind. And the common thread, even though there's a generational difference, among the many common threads, I think, is an upbringing that was based on hard work, a desire to not go back to where they were from. And that doesn't mean they don't have respect and reverence for where they're from, but whether it was Coach Bryant with Morrow Bottom, Arkansas, or Nick Saban with West Virginia and working at his dad's gas station, the desire to be the best and fulfill goals and dreams and aspirations that many people thought as kids would be impossible for them, I think that is a drive that set both men apart, and it's why they're among the best of all time, regardless of which sport you're talking about. There is a drive and a constant motivation that, however you define it, is historic, and that's why their success is as well.
You talk about the reverence that Coach Bryant has held. I can remember, Chris, when we were playing, we were having a shoot-around at Alabama, and Coach Bryant walked into the shoot-around to talk to Coach Rupp. Coach Rupp blew his whistle and immediately brought the entire team over to introduce Coach Bryant. It was one of the neatest moments of my college experience, getting to meet Coach Bryant at Alabama.
And, you know, to think about how legendary Coach Rupp was, but the fact that he would bring in someone else to talk to his team in another sport speaks volumes. But it's another thing that I see still. Nick Saban does this every summer, and even sometimes in season. He'll bring in guests that are considered elite in their field that may not be football related. You know, before he passed away, he had Kobe Bryant less than a year earlier, I think, come and speak to the team. That's somebody he knew the kids could relate to, that he knew would have a message. But here's the most amazing thing. When he brings in a speaker, when you watch Nick Saban sitting on the front row and he's got a notebook and a pen.
Wow.
He's taking notes himself, because he takes the approach of Gary Player had a great line, legendary golfer. Every man is my superior in that I may learn from him. And Nick Saban, whether he's heard that quote or not, takes that theory to heart. He is locked in. He's listening. And he is always looking for a nugget that he can take and pull from somebody else that's been extremely successful in their walk of life as well. It's incredible. It really is. It's been amazing to watch.
Well, Chris, let's move to hoops. And you guys were terrific last year. And Dan and I were talking before you came on. And you really, your defense was undervalued. I thought it was really well played. And I don't think your team got enough credit for that. Everybody wanted to talk about the Trey shooting for you. But, you know, are you going to lose Herb Jones? Will he come back for another year? He was the SEC Player of the Year.
Yeah, he'll go. He's got his degree. Herb was a great student in addition to being a great player. And that's not just lip service. I know you remember Colin Sexton.
Sure.
Colin's freshman year and Herb's freshman year, they had a battle. They're in the midst of the NCAA tournament. Everybody knew that Colin was going to be a lottery pick and was going to be a one and done. But you talk about running through the tape. Colin said at the NCAA tournament press conference, I'm going to class every day. I'm working. I've got a 4.0 GPA. And he points to Herb and he goes, I'm not going to let him beat me for the best GPA. He may tie me, but he is not going to beat me. And it's that type of competition that Herb brought every day in the classroom and on the court that made him so successful and one of the best college players in the country this past season. Unfortunately, selfishly, he's moving on, but it's time. It's understandable. His stock will never be higher. Somebody's going to get a great young man and I think a longtime player. I don't know that Herb will be an NBA All-Star, but he will be a guy that every franchise would love to have because of who he is personally in addition to being a great player.
Chris, what about Primo? I think he declared for the NBA draft. Of course, he has till, what, the 4th of July or something like that to come back out. What do you think his prospects are?
I'll answer that. I got to say this. I thought of this when I got the message from Mike asking me to be on. We talk about where Alabama basketball is. Guys, we're sitting here on what, June 10th?
Yep.
And I get an email from Dan Issel and Mike Pratt wanting to talk Alabama basketball. That doesn't happen a whole lot in the last 20 years, I'll tell you that. But Primo is an example of that. He was part of that recruiting class that came in that was highly touted, one of the highest rated in a long time for Alabama. I think if I were having to place a bet on who's coming back, who's not, I would guess that Jaden Shackelford will be back for a junior season in Alabama uniform. I won't be shocked if Primo stays in the draft, even though what I've seen in terms of projections don't have him in the first round. I still think that there is probably better than 50-50 odds he'll wind up staying in the draft. I hope that's not the case. He's another guy that I really enjoyed getting to know just a little bit. Unfortunately, with COVID, we weren't as close as we would normally be as a member of the broadcast crew to the players. But he, in the little bit of interaction I had with him, terrific young man, will do well in life, whatever he winds up doing. But I won't be shocked if he keeps his name in.
Well, talk to us, Chris, about the new players that are coming to Alabama. And obviously, if they can't shoot the tray, they're not coming, right?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. I was trying to find – well, I actually do have the current one based on where things are going into this season. Of the new guys, you've got good grief. Alex Chiku, who redshirted last year, 6'11", 225, needed to put on muscle, gain some more basketball experience and skill. And the reason he didn't play last year was because of an injury. And I slipped a little bit, but I think it was Achilles. But he's gotten that repaired. He's doing well. Looked terrific in the individual drills he was able to do at the end of last year as he had healed from that. And is going to, I think, be a terrific player who can stretch the floor, can shoot it a little bit from the perimeter, enough to not change who Alabama is when he's on the floor, but can still get to the basket and do the job on the glass that you need a 6'11", 230-plus pounder to do. Charles Bediako, who's out of Ontario, is a similar category. He came to Tuscaloosa from IMG Academy, but a five-star kid, I believe, seven-footer, about 220 pounds, very similar in terms of style. But they're going to give Alabama some size and physicality that will be different. There's just something different, the 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", but guys that are also 6'11 plus. And for them to be that size, that type of potential rim protectors they can be and still be a threat on the perimeter to not mess up the flow offensively, that's going to be really, really special. The one in Noah Gurley, a grad transfer, grad student, along with Namari Burnett, who's coming from Texas Tech, those are highly sought-after guys. They're going to be great pieces of the puzzle. But the one that everybody is excited about is a young man named J.D. Davison from a little school in a little town in Alabama that's probably a top 10 prospect, consensus five-star, highlight real stuff that just has you salivating based on what he can do individually. But everybody that I've talked to, both in Tuscaloosa and elsewhere, talk about how great a kid he is, how coachable he is, what a team guy he is, and how well he's going to fit into no longer being head and shoulders above everybody else on the floor, and how he will make everybody better collectively just with his presence. He's going to be exciting. And you put him with the returning group of guys, and you lose some great seniors off of a historic team from Alabama's perspective in the last 20 years. But you put these new pieces of the puzzle in there as well. You understand why I'm getting phone calls from where I consider the true hotbed of basketball in the state of Kentucky in the middle of June.
Chris Stewart, that is so right, and we're so happy to have you with us. We hope you'll come back. And Alabama basketball, I think, buddy, you're in for another big year next year, and I look forward to seeing you this year, Dan does too, at a ball game.
I would love that. It's great, Mike. It's been great to know you for many years, and it's a thrill. It's somebody who's known of and respected Dan for so long, and I can't believe I'm calling you Dan, but I'm 51. I have to. but it's an honor to be on with you as well, and would love to meet you in person also.
Well, hopefully we'll do that at Rupp Arena this year. Chris, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Chris Stewart, play-by-play man for Alabama basketball and the host of the Coach Nick Saban television show. We got off into football, but it was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the line I liked the best was, Coach Saban doesn't like sitting around 2 hours for a two-minute clip for ESPN. I can imagine what happens when that goes down. But, you know, this is a great idea that you had, Mike, to get somebody on from each program. And the thing that runs through all of these interviews is how great they think their teams are going to be this year.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a fun season, fun basketball season in the SEC.
It's going to be a bear. Yep. Well, let's take a break. Process, he got his hoodie pulled up. He's got a headset on, and he's ready to roll.
I'm cold. What can I say?
It is cold in here. I agree. That's why I wore my jeans. All right. This is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, and we'll be back in a few.
Keep it locked with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Well, welcome back to Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk. Dan Issel, Mike Pratt, in the process. He's keeping us on our toes, isn't he?
I get so nervous. I'm like, all right, are you going to talk?
Well, we spend so much time talking to each other about other stuff when we're on break. We don't even know when we come back. You've got a pound on the window.
Okay. I've always forgot I got a pound on the window. Usually I just like say it in your ear, but yeah, all right, I got you. I'll knock on the window.
And sometimes Process will get up and wave at us like, you know.
See, and here's
Crean, excuse me.
Here's another thing I don't know. And I don't know how I don't know this, but I can't tell when you're on the air and when you're just talking in my ear.
Hmm, that's fair.
So I, you know, if you're just talking in my ear, I don't want to say you're absolutely right, Process.
This is fair. This is very fair. All right, fair enough.
All right, we settled that. Like so many of my friends, you may be searching for your dream home, but be sure you get the best mortgage for that home. The folks at Stockton Mortgage are the best at helping people find a complete financing option that works for them. So don't wait. Get started with our favorite home loan folks at Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com, NMLS number 8259, equal housing lender. What are you laughing about? What are you laughing about?
Because I told you this morning you have to say 8259. You can't say 8259.
Oh, I'm not real coachable today. I'm not real coachable.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of coaches, as I was driving in this morning, I had a chance to hear Coach Chris Mack on the Diener show, and he was talking about the Dino situation and self-reporting, and here's what he had to say.
We did self-report the very next day, and so, you know, I think any time that you do that, I think people have to understand that schools have violations all the time, and you know, you don't want violations, but you know, the rule book is ever changing. It's our responsibility to turn those in. We did that without hesitation. So, you know, again, whatever comes of that comes of that, but I think we're facing a little bit stiffer challenges from previous years than what transpired here in the last month or two.
You liked it, didn't you?
I love it. I love it. Did you self-report, Coach? Yes, we self-reported the very next day.
With all intent and purpose, right?
So now you know why Dino thought he had a case, because they hadn't self-reported, but they reported the very next day. That's great. That's great stuff.
I didn't hear the Chris Mack interview, but we've got a couple cuts from it. I like the one about the Withers kid. He was a real high-rising freshman last year. I think he was redshirted. May be a kid from Charlotte, I believe, also originally. He went to prep school, but he really developed into a pretty good player. Undersized center, really a stretch four, mm-hmm. or a power forward, we used to call that. So, Process, a little conversation about Withers.
You know, I think Jalen Withers obviously had a breakout year as a redshirt freshman. I think he's making even greater strides this offseason. He spent the whole month of May along with a few other guys. Most of our guys went home, and some of obviously our newcomers hadn't arrived. And so Jalen stayed in town, took a class in May, and you can tell the benefits of that. He looks a lot bigger, a lot stronger, a lot more confident. His perimeter skills continue to grow, and I think he's going to be one of the better players in the ACC, and we're excited about it.
You know, Dan, bigs nowadays, you would have been great at this. You could have stepped out and knocked those shots down, and they don't have to put it necessarily on the floor, but they have to put themselves in position to catch shoot, right?
Right.
And have to have a quick release and understand that when I get the ball, I can't dilly-dally with it. I got to do something, right?
And nobody plays with their back to the basket anymore.
Oh, no. That's a no-no.
Yeah, so you don't need a big guy that plays with his back to the basket. You need a big guy who can step out to the elbow and knock those shots down. Because if you're moving the basketball, you're going to get those shots if you're a 6'9", 6'10 kid. So that's very important.
And the one thing that a big guy can do, though, and I really respect the ones that will go to the glass and rebound. That's where I think the game is going now. You're going to have one big guy in particular that may not be able to go far from the basket, mm-hmm. okay, but he can own the glass, and he can get you extra possessions off putbacks and maybe keep a ball alive where it finds its way out to the perimeter. A really hard trade to defend, and one it's much easier to make is on a miss when it's kicked out.
Well, especially today, Mike, because nobody blocks out anymore. I mean, when, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that was a very important piece of playing basketball, was when the shot went up. If you didn't put a body on somebody, you know, you were coming out of the game. Nobody blocks out anymore. It's almost like a statement of manhood. I don't have to block out. I'll just jump up and get the basketball. And some of these guys, you know who was the best at it? Was Wes Unsell. Wes Unsell could get, and he's only 6'7". He was the smallest starting center in the NBA. And boy, could he offensive rebound. And if you didn't put a body on him when the shot went up, you were going to get embarrassed. But nobody blocks out anymore. So if you want to work hard and you've got, you know, some quick moves for a big guy, you can get a lot of offensive rebounds around.
You can make a good living.
Absolutely.
That way.
Absolutely.
But guys don't look at it that way, because that sports center and everything else, people talk about the three-point shooting like we have with the Alabama kids. You can make a nice living. Hey, what's his name from Chicago? Rodman.
Oh, Dennis Rodman.
Oh, listen. First time I saw him in person when I was with the Hornets, and you saw him before me, I'm sure, and coached against him. But, you know, the guy didn't even care if he got the ball. Matter of fact, there were many times I remember this clearly, thinking when, and they just totally outclassed us. We were expansion team. They were the Bulls. This guy got the ball. And my impression, when he got the ball, he thought it was a hot potato. He had to get rid of it. He didn't want any part of that ball except for a putback. But if you got him the ball in a position on the floor that wasn't putback, he got rid of it. It was like a hot potato.
Yeah.
And made a hell of a living.
Yes, he did. Made the Hall of Fame. Made the Hall of Fame being an offensive rebounder and a defensive player. And the other thing that he did so well, probably better than anybody else I ever saw that played the game, is he would tip the ball to himself. If he couldn't go up and get the rebound, grab it with two hands, he'd go in one-handed and tip it 3 or 4 feet over his head, and then rebound the basketball. The Bulls, of course, you know, Michael, in my estimation, is the best that's ever played, not only because of his physical skills, but he was so, so competitive. He wasn't going to let you beat, if he had to bleed, he wasn't going to let you beat him. And Scottie Pippen was a great compliment to him. But the Bulls that won all those championships, they had all the complementary pieces. They had Rodman, who was an unbelievable rebounder and defender. They had spot up shooters like Paxton and Steve Kerr, and that was just a marvelous blend of all of the different ingredients you need to be a championship team.
No question. I mean, they were amazing. They were amazing. Chris Mack also this morning talked about his shooting struggles. And first of all, we'll hear about that. And then I want to hear about Noah Locke, because I think they play in pretty well together.
I thought we generated a lot of really, really good looks. And, you know, I think shooting's one of those things that obviously is tied into confidence. You know, when you see the ball not go in consistently, you know, it can wear on you. You know, I think that not having the ability for our guys to get in the gym every single day, you know, when practice ended, we basically had to lock up the practice facility simply because of the pandemic. Guys didn't have the ability to get in early morning, didn't have the ability to come in after practice late at night. And that's a lot of times, you know, something that really, you know, helps guys when they're in slumps, or continue to, you know, shoot the ball well, you know, when you're in the zone, so to speak. You can get in every single night and continue to rep your shot. We had those COVID pauses. So, you know, I don't think we were necessarily the percentage that we shot as a team last year, but, you know, you are what you shoot. And unfortunately, we weren't good enough shooting team, and so we tried to address that in the offseason. So I believe we'll be a much better three-point shooting team this coming season.
And a little Noah Locke.
We had recruited Noah out of high school when we were at Xavier, and we had a really good relationship with both he, his mom and dad, and brother KL. And so when that time came around that, you know, he eventually left the University of Florida, we were all over that one. And we tried to show him as best we could virtually that he was really needed here. And I think he saw the opportunity. He saw, you know, the type of team that we had and where he could fit in and really help our program. And so we were really super excited when Noah said he was going to be a Cardinal.
I want to get to with you about shooting in confidence, but I want to also say this, that I've said this about Shibway at Kentucky, who was second. Kentucky was second to West Virginia originally, so they knew this kid very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not know until I listened to Mac that they had recruited Locke
at Xavier.
At Xavier, yep. And knew the kid. I think those type of transfers are probably going to, if you track it over the next couple of years, work out better than any. Because, again, we're talking about culture. We're talking about what happens to your culture with name, image, and likeness. We don't know, but it's out there. So you're talking about coaching people, coaching guys that you know. And I think that was interesting about Locke.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And this goes back to what one of our guests said last week, is that every year you're going to have to re-recruit these kids now. And, you know, if anything goes sideways, these kids are going to say, man, I made a mistake. I should have gone to that other school that was number two on my list. And you were talking about the name, image, and likeness. And Chris had something to say about that this morning, too.
You have states that are already putting it in play July 1, and if we don't have, you know, as an NCAA member, you know, have the opportunity to capitalize off their name, image, and likeness, and other schools, because they're in a particular state, do to disadvantage. Now, I do think that they're going to get something ironed out, and hopefully here over the next month or two, and then at that point, then at least, you know, we'll have a little bit of equality in it. But I mean, it's a hot topic for sure. It needs to be addressed.
And who has to address it, Michael? The NCAA. So good luck with that getting ironed out in the next month or two.
Well, something is going to happen in this state. We've had Senator McGarvey on before, and he's one of the state senators who's led the charge to get something done here in this state. If the NCAA doesn't deal with that collectively and quickly, they're going to have a bear on their hands, because every state, they're going to be similar, but they're not going to be alike in how they, what the law is that they pass. That's chaos.
Yeah, well, sure, it's chaos. And I hate to always beat up the NCAA, but how long ago did California pass the law that they are going to let these kids
pre-COVID benefit? I think.
Yeah, over a year ago, for sure. Probably longer than that. But have you heard the NCAA doing anything about it, or coming out with a position, or saying, you know, we're going to have to do something about this so that it doesn't become a competitive disadvantage for schools in states that have passed these laws? So it's going to be a mess. It really is. If you've got some schools in some states that are able to do it, and then other states that aren't.
The NCAA, to your point, during this time has been practicing their field goal skills. They've kicked the can down the road. Okay? And that's, you know, it's hard to believe that they got away with that.
But it's 20 days away.
Yeah.
Until, and I don't know what other states besides California. I know there are other states that have passed it. But in 20 days, college athletes in California are going to be able legally to start endorsing products, selling their autograph. And so, you know, if UCLA and Louisville are after a kid, and he has a chance to make some money. Now, I don't think it's going to be a lot of money for most kids, but if the opportunity is there, that gives UCLA an advantage.
And you can always overpromise and underdeliver. I think there's going to be some of that going on. Let me get back to Chris Mack talked about the shooting struggles that they have had. And there's been a lot of teams, to include the University of Kentucky, that has had shooting struggles. What is it? What is it about that, Dan? And you and I both know that guys develop a better shooting range. They become better percentage shooters when they get to the NBA from college.
Mm-hmm.
And in college, what is it that that they spend a lot of money recruiting XYZ basketball player, and then they come into college and they say, oh, man, he's not a very good shooter. You know, he's a scorer. He's not a shooter. What the hell are you doing out there, you know?
You know, and my theory is that the college coaches want so much control over their players. I mean, you watch a college game, and the point guard bringing up the ball is always looking at the bench. you know, what play do you want to run? What's going on? And the coaches are up, and you know, and they want control, so much control over that. And in the NBA, you don't see it. Now, a coach will call a play from time to time, sure, and he's standing up, but they let the players play more than they do in college, and there's a flow to the game that develops. And one thing that would drive me nuts, I couldn't play in today's game because they're so quick to substitute. I mean, you watch an SEC game with Kentucky, and they're making substitutions, Mike, 2.5, 3 minutes into the game. Well, if you're doing that, then I think you're starting the wrong guys. and so, you know, you need to get into the flow of the game. You need to break a sweat to get going and to be able to do that. And so, you know, I think just the control and the in and out of the substitutions, I think that really hampers a kid's shooting ability in the college game.
And to your point, but in defense of Calipari in that regard, his best teams have been a flowing team, that he can push it, they can push it. A couple years ago with Monk and Fox at the guard position,
right.
Two damn good college guards,
yep.
And Bam in the middle, and you had Derek Willis on the wing shooting the ball, and the flow of that team was really good. And he didn't have to utilize the stand up and call a play trick, okay?
Right. Yeah.
But then it gets back to recruiting. You have to make sure that you're right about the guys you bring in. Okay, if you're not right, if you sign a point guard who doesn't understand, hey, I want to play fast. I want to move the ball. And I know there are coaches, and I have listened to one of them talk in Lexington that said, I want to play fast. I want to play fast. What are you listening to, players? The coach said, I want to play fast, okay? I want a fast break. Oh, my gosh. I think I'll play on the half court. I'll stop the ball. You know, I'll make sure the coach gets up and is mad and makes a call on the half court.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why the coach needs more control in college game than he does in the pro game. But talking about shooting, Coach Mack had a real good point that I didn't realize was last year, because of COVID, you could only be in the gym during practice time. I didn't realize you couldn't come in early or you couldn't stay late. And
really? I can't believe it. These kids all have keys or you know, pads, cards for the pads. They could always go in there and do it. Now, you know what? I missed him. I had tuned him out, I guess. And but that's a good point.
Right.
I didn't realize
you
that.
You tuned him out right after. Yes, we self-reported the very next day.
That got me right there.
No, that's exactly what when we played the clip about his about the team's shooting struggles last year. That's exactly what he said, that they couldn't go in early, they couldn't stay after practice. As soon as the organized practice was over, everybody was out of the gym. And you know, when you aren't shooting the ball well, you always like to take extra time to see what you're doing. I remember one of the worst shooting slumps I was ever in was when we would go to shoot around, and I would get up, you know, 45 minutes before shoot around started and have to drive in, and didn't take a shower or didn't wash my hair. So I'd wear a baseball cap to shoot around. And I got in the worst shooting slump. I couldn't make a basket. And after about five games, I figured out it was because during shoot around, I was shooting with a baseball hat on, and that changed my
the bill.
Yeah, and so I turned the hat around.
There it is.
I turned the hat around, and we
buckets. You started making
and
buckets.
I started shooting better again.
I just see the light bulb going off in your head. Like, what if I turn the hat backwards? Ooh.
And afterwards, process. He goes after about four games with the hat on backwards, he goes, isn't this freaking amazing? All right. I want to get back to a couple other cuts after we come back from break. Right away, because we're going to talk a little college baseball. You know, the show is moving to the Super Regionals. Then the show moves to Omaha, which I think would be a neat place to go to see some baseball. I have not been there. I've been to the old ballpark in Omaha, which they tore down. And I was there when we played in the NIT. We played Creighton. So Joe Sharp, who was in the athletic department at that time, he and I walked up and saw the stadium. But I've never seen the game there. So we're going to have Keith Madison, Coach Keith Madison of the Kentucky Wildcats, who took his team back in the day to the Super Regional final game. And on his team, a guy he really respects and likes was Vince Tyree.
Oh,
how about that? That's pretty cool.
That'd be
a
great conversation.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So, process, we're at the top of the hour, brother. I can count. I look, 10:59 on my iPad. It says process. This is Sports Talk presented by Stockton Mortgage. Dan Issel, Mike Pratt. We'll be back.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.